You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
According to former telecommunications industry executive Daniel DeBon, the constant and ever-increasing exposure to electromagnetic frequency, aka EMF, this radiation emitted by cell phones, tablets, laptops, Wi-Fi, and smart meters is one of the most critical health issues facing Western civilization today. Not only does EMF radiation adversely affect those of us who use mobile devices on a daily basis, but studies indicate that EMF radiation is especially harmful to our children, and many of whom began using wireless communication devices way before they even learn even to talk. Today on Wellness for Life Radio, we have best-selling author of Radiation Nation, The Fallout of Modern Technology, Daniel DeBon. He is an internationally recognized expert in EMF radiation, EMF shielding, and EMF-related health issues, with special focus on the effect of exposure from mobile devices, just such as laptops, tablets, and cell phones. Thanks so much for being here, Daniel.
Dr. Suzanne, thanks so much for inviting me. I really appreciate it.
You bet. You bet. Now, EMF, you know, where does it come from? Let's share with everyone. It's not just on these tablets that we use, but where else? Where else can we get this?
Electromagnetic radiation comes from man-made stuff that's powered by electricity, by and large. You have emissions coming from wires on the street, toaster ovens you run in your kitchen, or they can be, and those are unintentional emissions, by the way. They're a byproduct of current flow. And then you have the ones that are intentional, the way you connect to your internet through the Wi-Fi connections, and the way you connect to a cell tower to communicate with your friends using a cell phone. So it's all around us, and it's getting more and more in our lives every day.
So what I love about what you're saying is it's basically anything that has to do with electricity.
Yep.
And that it actually generates a frequency that can affect our health, or at the cellular level, even possibly even DNA level. I'd like to ask you one thing, because I am doing my best for my house so that we don't get smart meters attached to our house.
Yep.
And
yep,
that's one thing you didn't say anything about, but not a lot of people even know what smart meters are. So can you please tell us what that is?
A smart meter is a device that's connected to your power supply drop that's from the power companies, and it meters your use of your power. And rather than sending a person to go look at it every so often, they actually transmit a signal out, just like a cell phone signal, and it goes out into the road, and all they got to do is walk by it, and they can know the amount of power you're using and consuming in your house. So
it's almost like this, it's like an AI, artificial intelligence, of them knowing what's going on in your house.
Yeah, well, they know precisely what's happening with the use. In some cases, they actually can tell almost like what's being used for what purpose. But by and large, it's just to measure the power consumed in the home.
You just mentioned something that they might know what you actually use. I mean, to me, that's like a privacy issue.
Yeah, but I tend to think that that's not really what we know is that there's a potential, but there's no evidence of that kind of thing being integrated into those modules. So we're pretty safe.
So, you know, I found out, I have a place down in La Paz, Mexico, and I found out 3 months ago that they actually attached a smart meter to my home without me even knowing it.
Oh, yeah.
I was livid about it. Now, for listeners out there, smart meters, you really need to go outside. Usually it's on the side of your home. It looks like a big round metal unit, and there's a glass on the outside or plastic, and you either look at it and it'll be a dial, The numbers, the dials, and literally the dial is moving like a clock, or it's digital. And if it's digital, it's actually a smart meter. And I know for a fact that these smart meters generate a huge amount of EMFs. And not just that, when I started sleeping at my place down there, it actually started bothering. I can feel it. I can feel the energetic difference in my bedroom from the smart meter. Do you know that people say that to you too?
Oh, Daniel? Yeah. Actually, believe it or not, if that meter is close enough to you, it screws around with your melatonin creation.
No That's wonder.
Why you don't sleep very well. It's interfering with the whole process of creating the melatonin that you want to sleep with. So you never want these near your bedrooms, ever, because they do influence the way our bodies operate even as we sleep. And remember, when you're in bed, you're there for 8 hours. So it's like all the time, which is not good at all.
That's right. Now, you know, you've got a website called DefenderShield.com.
Yes.
You've
yep.
got products there, but do you have products for smart shield or smart meter shielding?
No, we don't. We don't have that. But here's a point, Dr. Suzanne. What you want to be concerned about is from the
Can
device.
Can you say that again, please? I just missed that. What do I need to worry about?
Distance.
Oh.
When you're 4 foot away from that device, most of the danger to your body is gone. By 10 or 15 feet, it's almost nominal. So you never want a meter on the wall of your bedroom. But if it's on the wall of your garage, that's not necessarily as bad as the one on the bedroom wall.
I got it. That's good to know. The place where it's actually is in the garage, on the wall of the garage, but that garage wall extends all the way to my bedroom, and my bedroom is about 20 feet away.
Yeah. Actually,
so I'm
that's
safe.
The limit. you're pretty safe, but you're on the limit of that. If I always recommend when you have those kinds of transmitting devices around you, when you're at night, you want it at least 20 foot away from you.
Okay. So one of the things I also do that, you know, a lot of people might think, isn't that a little too much, Dr. Suzanne? But I do it because I feel the difference. I turn off the circuitry at the circuit breaker of the room energy. Do you recommend that too?
Not only that, but let's say if you choose not to do that, what you want to make sure is you get a timer on your router. And at night, just turn it off and then turn it back on. So either you can close off at the breaker, and if you choose not to, there are other things also that you can do that minimizes the exposures.
Well, that's good. Now, you mentioned about melatonin and how that smart meter messes us up. Well, how else can EMF affect the human body?
Oh, in so many ways. I'm not sure you were, Dr. Suzanne, but last year, the National Toxicology Division of the federal government spent $25 million, and they created an isolation chamber, an epidemiology isolation chamber. They actually took transmitting cell phones, and they took a population, and they saturated them as if there was heavy use, and then they had a population that had none. And what they found was there was no question an impact to the various parts of the body. Particularly, they found under heavy use there was tumors being formed in the frontal lobes of the specimens and the heart, believe it or not. And you know why? It was because it's soft tissue. And so we now know there was $25 million spent. They found a clear evidence of impact to the cell, and it was quantified at over 2% probability increase from a heavy use to a normal use. So we know there's the extreme cases, but you actually may be electromagnetically hypersensitive, because when you said you feel stuff even at 20 foot away, do you realize 20% of our population is electromagnetic hypersensitive. And they can't even get within 5 feet of a use of a cell phone, some extreme cases. So these kinds of things are all around us, and it's creating a problem for our bodies to deal with, and in some cases, in extreme cases. Now, you can get headaches from it. Your fingers can tingle when you get close to these things. There's a lot of different things that can influence your body from these emissions. The ones that are the most dangerous, by the way, are the ones that touch your body. When you have a 1.6 watt per kilogram touching your head, that's penetrating your head by two inches, and it's heating up the body around that by 2 degrees. So when you use a cell phone, there's a not only a thermal impact that it's actually heating up a little bit of your face or your head, it's also having a biological impact. In other words, it's mucking around with your cells. It's actually weakening the cell membranes. And that's really the start of electromagnetic hypersensitivity, and that's also in the path of it worsening to damaged DNA and cell mutation.
Right. You know, what I understand is that with a little bit of the science in me, I understand that it's actually the calcium channels of the cell membranes that gets disturbed. And with that being said, no, I totally understand why that national toxicology study where they found the most damage was in the tumors of the brain, of course, brain issues, and heart, is because they are both the highest electrical organs in our body. The nervous system is all electrical based. Our heart has its own electrical pump, right?
Oh, yeah.
It has its own pacemaker, which is all electrical based. So no wonder these are the two organs that have suffered so much from EMF exposure.
That's why I mentioned that to you, because it interferes with processes of the body, not just the cell itself, but processes. But to continue your discussion, it's probably all over the last 5 to 8 years that actually there's enough scientific study about the collapse of the cell. And we now know it is a calcium penetration of a weakened cell membrane. And then that converts to nitrous oxide, which ultimately creates the mutated cell and the DNA damaged cell. So we now know the mechanics of a breakdown of a cell from these kinds of exposures.
I don't want to brush over this quickly. You mentioned about the calcium channel. It's
right.
It's disrupted. Then the calcium goes into the cell.
Yep.
Right? And it weakens the cell. And then a chemical is expressed. What is that chemical again?
Nitrous oxide. It builds it builds out within the cell. But remember we were just mentioning...
Is it nitrous oxide or nitric oxide?
No, nitrous oxide. And
which is damaging toxic.
Oh, yeah. It's toxic to the cell. And that's what when you talk about... We haven't spoke about this yet. Ionized radiation, that's where X-rays can damage a cell. And they always say that damaging that cell can actually create a cancer. Well, the mechanics are very similar when it's non-ionized, and that's cell phones, tablets. They all generate a non-ionized radiation. It also can break down the cells. But which also, I don't know if you've heard this example of what a non-ionized radiation is, but when you go to a microwave oven, which I don't do, and you put a piece of meat in an oven, what happens is, there is a 2.3 gigahertz. It's just a radiating signal goes into the meat. It heats up the water, and it oscillates the cells. When that happens, you have cooked meat. Well, guess what? An RF signal is a microwave signal. They're one and the same thing. So but the power levels of the devices around us that are communicating Wi-Fi and cell phones is just a lower energy level. But it's the same RF signal.
Can we talk a little bit about RF? Or do you mean radiation frequency or radio frequency as RF?
RF is radio frequency. RF on the spectrum is an electromagnetic radiating signal.
So then let's go one step further here, Daniel, because RF, let's talk about Bluetooth.
Yes.
Is Bluetooth RF?
Yes. Bluetooth is RF. Wi-Fi is RF. Cell connections are RF. They're all the same thing. They're all around the 1 to 5 gigahertz space. And they all are microwave slash radio frequency transmissions, which are omnidirectional, three-dimensional, expanding emissions emanating from a source like a cell phone. That's what's connecting to a cell tower.
Can you tell me then, regarding, let's say, something that you have next to you that is on and the Bluetooth signaling is on, what is the distance that you want that unit to be away from you?
So maybe it helps to, before I answer that question, let me give you a little bit of sense about this stuff. A cell phone can connect 2 to 5 miles. It can go far. A Wi-Fi, they can go 300 to 500 feet. And then a Bluetooth can go maybe 40 to 60 feet. So each one of them are RF signal, and the power that they use to communicate is more when it's far away and lower when it's close. So it's a very low level signal, but it's an RF signal and under constant load to whatever it's going to touch. So a rule of thumb is very simple. With all those devices, doesn't matter if it's Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, or cell phone, you want to make sure the worst is when it touches your body. 1 foot away, it's a logarithmic drop power levels. It drops to 80% reduction of danger by 4'98". So the immediate dangers are really reduced pretty quickly when you have it just a little bit away from your body.
That's good to hear. That's actually really good to hear, because nowadays people are using the apps and wearables and all kinds of things out there. And I'm one of them, but I do not want any transmissions. So what I do is I literally turn all apps off. I'm on airplane mode unless I need to make a call.
And that's what you should do.
Yeah, that's right. And if I leave my phone on, it's never touching my body. And then, of course, I don't remember the last time I even put it to my head. Can't even imagine. Yeah. I'm the one who always is yelling out loud in the speakerphone on the street.
Right.
You know, because
bothering everybody around you.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? Listen to my conversation. I have no secrets, let me tell you. And I just want, you know, to make sure that I'm not going to be, having any of the ill effects. So what I also do quite a bit is I actually communicate through texting.
Yes.
And that gives me also another way. Let me ask you this.
When you're texting, it's a little bit away from your body, so you have a little bit of distance, and your hand's very safe. You were pointing out before that you weren't surprised about the heart, and you weren't surprised about the frontal lobe. That's because they're most susceptible. Typically, as you may know, hands aren't susceptible. So they can take a load twice as much as those other parts of the body. So you're pretty safe in what you're using or what you're doing.
Oh, that's good. That's good to hear all that, because, you know, everything that I'm doing, it's right on with what you're saying. And then, you know, I've also wondered, let's say that I turn my cell phone off, meaning like my cell site, you know what I mean? So I'm talking about cellular energy. I turn that off.
Right.
But my Wi-Fi is on. How much of the discrepancy, or how much is it better that I've turned off that cell to tower, you know, communication?
There's very little difference between Wi-Fi and cellular connections with terms of energy.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't know that.
What you do is really important to know. When you use your cell phone, you ask me about Wi-Fi, you ask me about cellular, and you ask me about Bluetooth. You
correct.
Do what is recommended. You turn some of it off If you don't use it, turn it off. I typically just use the cell connection, and that's all I keep on. I turn everything else off all the time. I never have any of those parts being transmitted, because those are three separate transmitters. So you want to just turn them off, and you only use one. Whether you use Wi-Fi or the cellular, there's probably, from a scientific study point of view, very little distinguishing differences between the two. So one or the other is fine.
That is super interesting. So all three, obviously, if I were to have all three on, you're just basically loading yourself with all three types.
Right, exactly.
And that can potentiate the damage.
Well, think about this. The standard was created over 30 years ago. It was created for a 6-foot male that occasionally used it. And I remind people, 30 years ago, I didn't have many friends who had a cell phone. So I couldn't call anybody. So I'm 6 foot, but I didn't have anybody to talk to. So occasional meant a few minutes a day. Well, fast forward to today, children are using it for hours on end. And it's starting at the youngest of ages. For me, most of my life was passed before I started using cell phone.
Me too.
Yeah, right. I hate to say it, but it's true. And so we grew up with very little exposure. In fact, I think it was in 2005. I'll tell you exactly because it's important. 98% of the world has phones now. 3 years earlier, there were only 33%. So all of a sudden, all the stuff's coming around us, and we're using it. Now, what about the standard? I was referring to the standard. Okay, a 6-foot male allows the penetration of one transmitter transmitting into the brain. And as a 6-foot male, it can penetrate 2 inches and increase the temperature by 2 degrees. The thermal part we talked about before. And a child, 6 years old, that signal can go completely through their head. And they're 6 years old. And they're extremely immature growth of the cells and the cranium. All the parts of the body are very, very immature. And now we're bombarding the biological construct of the body, and that is potentially the more long-term concern, the thermal impact.
Everything that you're talking about makes me look at really the big picture, because yes, in the last 10 years, if not more, of course, we've had a high rate incidence of ADHD, ADD, yes, depression, insomnia, anxiety, and all of these young people who are suffering from this are now drugged with all these, you know, yep, drugs that are actually, yep, not for children, but for adults. And this is a big concern because it's not getting better. Daniel,
Dr. Suzanne, that there is clear evidence of linkage between Wi-Fi in a classroom and ADHD.
That's like a no-brainer to say, hey, right, let's stop
it. 8 hours a day these children are being exposed.
Right.
I call that bees in the room. If you think about a transmitter of a cell phone or a tablet or your laptop, they all transmit something. We talked about cell phone. We talked about three transmitters, three bees. Well, when you have one bee in a room, it's not dangerous. You aren't going to die. If you have 1,000 bees, all of a sudden, you are in danger. And that's what's happening in our lives, our children's lives. There's this preponderance of evidence that suggests the more bees in the room, the worse it is. And ADHD is a prime example. Leukemia is an example.
You were saying leukemia is an example?
Leukemia is an example of a known impact to the body of a human exposed excessively to these transmissions.
Well, goodness, Daniel, I really got to have you come back. because...
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, you know, it's funny. Some of the largest experts in the world in this space read my book, and they all of a sudden, what I found was the scientific community wasn't talking to the physician community. The physician community wasn't talking to the lay community. And so what was it that we're being exposed to, and what is it that it does, was peace parsed everywhere we went, but nothing that was secure. That's actually
why
I wrote the book.
Well, that's part of the reason why I wanted you on my show, is because I wanted the truth about EMFs,
right.
Radiation, and your book, Radiation Nation, The Fallout of Modern Technology. I can't wait to read it. You've got a website called DefenderShield.com, DefenderShield.com. David, you've been a wealth of information. As you can tell, I get so excited about talking about this.
Oh, yeah.
Really got to have you back again and get more,
sure.
Dive deeper into what really is the reality of EMF radiation.
Do you know how I got involved in this, Dr. Suzanne?
What's that?
5 years ago, my boys were using their laptops on their lap for hours at a time. My wife says, that can't be good for you. And she's not a science expert. She sort of intuitively thought something was wrong. I instantly knew what was the problem because I used to run laboratories for the Bell System. I was writing standards for the Bell System. So I began looking into it, and what I found was no one really fully understood the problem, the best I could tell. That's why I got more involved. I created a company
thank
that actually
so
shields and protects. And
that's exactly it. We got to get going, though. Next time, I can't wait to talk more about what can we really do? How can we help ourselves? Here we go. So talk to you next time. Until then, this is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies on Wellness for Life radio show right here on Radio MD. Stay well.